From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice and thank Thee for the great privilege that is ours to enter into Thy presence through Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Rejoice, O God, that we can sing Thy praise. We thank Thee, O God, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. We pray, O God, that as the blood of Christ is exalted, and the only remedy for sin is presented to men and women, we pray, O God, that by Thy Spirit, that Thou will draw men and women, young people, boys and girls, to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Reverend Martin as he preaches Thy Word. May the Spirit of God attend all that he proclaims tonight. We pray, O God, that by Thy Spirit, that Thou will use him and fill him, O God, with power and with clarity of mind and thought. We thank Thee, O God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Come and meet with our hearts, we pray. Speak through the word we ask of Thee. And we cry to Thee that through the foolishness of preaching, that Thou wilt save those for whom Christ died, for we pray these are prayers in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and we're reading from the verse number 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We're singing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Turning in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, I want to read some verses from 36 and 37 to you. Some words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And we know the Lord will bless this text to all of our hearts. Could we bow briefly in prayer? We'll ask God's help in the ministry and in the hearing of the glorious gospel of grace. Father, we thank thee once again for Holy Scripture. We thank thee for the Word of God in our mother tongue. And we rejoice for the revelation of thy saving purpose through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of God's elect. And in his high and holy name, we approach unto thee. We stand by blood alone. We enter in on the ground of the finished work of the cross. And we're asking thee now to bless the ministry of thy word. Speak to every heart. God grant that thy spirit will convict of sin and convert the sinner to Christ. So to this end, I call upon thee now to infill me with thy Holy Spirit. I pray for wisdom and power in the handling of the gospel of thy grace. I pray, Lord, that I might have that anointing to lift up Christ as the only Savior. And Father, in answer now to prayer, be pleased to save the lost. Restore the backslider, revive thy church, and Father, glorify thy dear Son. And the people of God said, Amen. Now, these words of our Lord Jesus Christ found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, they teach us something of the reality of the soul. Housed in that body of yours is the most precious, priceless possession that God could ever give you this side of his eternity. I want to ask you a very simple question. Not only do you believe in your soul, but have you ever thought about your soul? Because in the book of Genesis chapter 2, the book of beginnings, when God created all things, we read these wonderful words in chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So the soul is of divine origin. It is made not like the body from the dust of the ground, but rather by the breath of Almighty God. When he first formed Adam and us in Adam in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we read that God gave to each one of us a soul. And that soul is as real as your body. That soul exists. That soul is alive. Now, I'm asking you, as I've done already, have you ever thought about your soul? Could I say something else? Because in Scripture, not only in this text we have read together, but in Scripture, the Bible has something else to say about the soul. For it speaks not only of the reality of your soul, but of the immortality of your soul. You see, the remarkable thing about the soul is it does not die like the body. It does not decay. It does not rot. It does not corrupt. It will not return as the body will, according to the commandment of God. Whenever Adam sinned against God and received the penalty in the body, death, he would return unto the dust from whence he came. But the soul goes out into eternity. It does not die like the body. That soul of yours, so real, so priceless, so precious, will live the lifetime of God, either in God's heaven, saved by his grace, or in God's hell, lost forevermore. Because the Bible teaches in Luke chapter 16, a true story of a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And the Bible tells me that that poor beggar sat at the gate of this rich man begging from his table. Moreover, the Bible says the dogs came and they licked his sores. The rich man had no thought for his fellow man. He had no thought for God. But the beggar, in his poverty, was trusting in the Lord. Both died. And the Bible tells us, and the Lord has drawn back the curtain to eternity. And the Bible says the rich man died. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And it tells us that the angels carried the poor beggar when he died into Abraham's bosom, paradise. And so our Lord taught us a wonderful truth there, didn't he? The soul is not like the body. They were dead. They were buried. That's the body. But we see them existing beyond this scene of time after the body's gone, because the soul has immortality. It does not die. It lives the lifetime of the God who created it and has given it to you. It does not in any way shape up to the body. It is immortal. It is the spiritual side of God's creation when he created you and I in Adam in the very beginning. And that soul, my friend, at death will enter into eternity. That is the eternal day or the eternal night, depending on how you stand with God, depending whether your soul has been saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, or that soul, my friend, in its sin, goes out into a lost eternity. The Bible calls that place hell. Now tell me, have you ever thought about your soul? Now furthermore, the Bible also teaches something else about the soul, for it reminds us of the depravity of the soul. Now I want you to think about this. You have a soul. A soul that will never die and will live the lifetime of God. It is the most precious, priceless possession that God has ever given you. And yet that soul of yours, my friend, in Adam, is a soul that is unfit for heaven. A soul that is separated from your Maker. A soul, my friend, if it's not saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, will spend eternity in the place the Bible calls hell. The Bible reminds me and teaches us in Romans 3 and verses 22 and 23, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. Now remember that. And you can underline that word all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tragically, your soul, my friend, so precious and so valuable, so immortal, is stained by Adam's sin in the garden. And it's soiled by your own sin personally and by practice. And therefore, that soul is unfit for fellowship and communion and a relationship with God in its sin. That soul of yours, my friend, needs to be saved. That soul of yours needs to be redeemed. That soul of yours, my friend, needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And I want you to listen to me. You have only one thing this side of God's eternity. And that is your soul. You may have possessions. You may have a house. You may have a caravan. You may have a holiday villa or a holiday home. You may have a good bank balance. And you may have whatever the world could give you by way of possession and material wealth. But whenever you die, you'll leave it all behind. There is no tow bar on the hearse. You come into this world as a soul and a living soul. You exit this world in the same way you came in, a soul, whether saved and going to heaven or lost and perishing in hell. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, now listen to it, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now I'm asking you again, have you ever thought about your soul? Have you ever considered where your soul stands between you and a holy God? Hear those words of our Lord Jesus Christ again. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you ever thought about your soul? Now keep that in mind. Because I want to say two more things about your soul. Firstly, there is danger. Your soul can be lost. The Lord Jesus Christ has made that clear in this very text of Scripture. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, underline these words, and lose his own soul? There's danger. Your soul can be lost. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How precious that soul is. And there's danger. That soul of yours is in danger of perishing. It can be lost. Now, there are many things you can lose in this world. You could lose your health. You could lose perhaps your money. You could lose perhaps a marriage. You could lose your business. You could lose your house, your car. There are many other things we could add. But could I say to you, they are all recoverable. And there's many a man and a woman, and they've lost some of these things, and they've regained them, and they've recovered them. But could I say something to you tonight? That if you lose your soul, it is a loss that is irreversible. You can do nothing about that. You can never recover from that loss if you lose your own soul. And such is the value of man's soul that God created in Adam in the beginning and has given to you as an individual. That if you were to gain the whole world, and that's not possible, it would never compensate for the loss of your soul, even for 1 millisecond in that awful place called hell. all that this world could give you and pleasure for your soul would never compensate for the loss of that soul. Now tell me, have you ever thought about your soul? There are some people who starve their soul. Oh, what do you mean by that, preacher? I'll tell you what I mean. There's some people who will not come to gospel meetings. They will not go to church. They would not come to gospel campaigns or revival meetings. They will not bring their soul under the sound of the glorious gospel of God's grace in Christ. And they starve their soul of those soul-saving and transforming and essential gospel truths. And they steer clear of things that perhaps will challenge them about their need to be saved and their soul and being right with God. There's some people who murder their soul. What do I mean by that? Very simple. They love their sin. They will not give up their sin. And they hang their soul over hell by a thread of divine grace because they will not give up their sin. They will not repent of their sin. And they will not look to Christ. And they will not receive Christ as their own and personal Savior. But there are others who poison their soul. In other words, they entrust it to the church. Somehow the church can save my soul. Somehow baptism can wash away my sin. Confirmation can bring to me the sevenfold graces of the Spirit and therefore fit me as a child of God for heaven. And therefore, in many ways, they murder their soul, they poison their soul, they starve their soul. And you might even say to me, well, that's not me. Well, can I say something to you then? If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you've never been converted, if you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior, then I'm saying to you then, there is at least something you are doing. You're exchanging your soul for lesser things. There's got to be something more important in your life then than your soul. If you saw the value of your soul and you understood how important that is and how vital a matter it is for that soul to be saved, it really transcends all other things. And that soul of yours, my friend, needs God's salvation, needs precious blood, needs to be saved by God's grace and mercy. And you'll only find that in the person and through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many are exchanging their soul for lesser things, possessions, getting all the world can give them, making money and more money? At what cost? Perhaps the loss of the soul. Or the pleasures of this world, unwilling to forgo those pleasures and give them up and separate from them and repent of them, turn away from them to the Lord for mercy. And they suspend the soul another year, another decade over the confines of the wicked dead, the place called hell. And perhaps there are some who, for power and position and a career-based motive, they neglect their soul because they want to climb the social ladder or the business ladder or the academic world and excel at all that they want to do, but it would be at a cost. The compromise would be the soul. Now, I'm asking you again, have you ever thought about your soul? A woman was in her house one day. She was just in her bedroom. She smelt smoke. She heard the crackle of a flame. Instantly, that woman knew that my house is on fire. That woman immediately gathered all the belongings, those sentimental things in her bedroom. She walked out through the door to escape the flames. They were coming up the stairs, and in an instant, she dropped everything. She remembered that she had placed her little child down in its cradle for its afternoon nap. She couldn't get through the door to rescue the little infant. The fire brigade came and took her outside the window, screaming about her child. They tried to rescue that little one and they couldn't. Can you imagine the horror and the terror that's going through that woman's mind? I had so much gathered that I felt was valuable, but the most precious thing to me has perished. But you're no different if you're not saved. You gather all that the world can give you and all that the church can furnish you with, and yet your own soul is not saved. I said to you, there's danger. Your soul can be lost. But I finish by saying there's deliverance. Your soul can be saved. And I'm glad tonight to be able to tell you that a ruined soul can be a redeemed soul. And that a depraved soul can be a delivered soul, and a lost soul can be a liberated soul, and a sinful soul can be a saved soul, and it's all because of Calvary. There are many things you can do for your soul, but one thing you cannot do, you cannot save it by your own effort. But God alone in Christ alone has done that for guilty sinners. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm thankful that the good news is this, that God so loved this world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ came, who is God, blessed forevermore. He was brought into this world by virgin birth. He lived a sinlessly perfect life. He who did no sin upon the cross was made the offering for sin. And there he substituted himself for poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners, that your soul and mine might be saved. He rose from the dead, having finished the work. God accepts all now who will come through Christ to the Father. And if you come to Christ tonight, he will save you. He will save you now. And I'm glad this man receiveth sinful men. You've only got to come as a sinner to the Lord. He will save you. He will save you now. Have you ever thought about your soul? Let's bow in prayer. Father, do bless the preaching of thy word. Grant, O God, that I hear. And Lord, all across the land, that sinners might repent of their sin and take Christ as their Savior. We pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting of sin, revealing Christ and their need of a Savior. We pray, O God, that the lost might come to the Savior and be saved by his sovereign grace. So hear and answer prayer now. We offer this our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.